Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Whoop, whoop. Good Tuesday, everybody. You know how you know baseball is a great sport, guys? You know how you just know that it's – I get that it's not America's pastime the way that it used to be, but it's still an incredibly compelling event, a baseball game, because the entire sport seems designed to try and kill itself, the guys that are running it, and it keeps coming back year after year, and they're trying it again. That we're going to get to see baseball's resiliency again, because Rob Manfred went on TV last night and basically started running out the old tired thing. Well, we won a season, but we're not being met halfway and all of this stuff. That everybody seems hell-bent on canceling the season, but we know that baseball is going to survive no matter what. That's how good of a sport baseball is.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I think that they got to get real. You know, if you want to try to save some money, man, you need to spend some money to save some money. You can't just save it and not spend it. And I, for whatever reason, they're taking the approach of trying to, you know, stretch this thing out so that the calendar falls in their favor is ridiculous to me.
Well, it's interesting, Key, because I think for the first time ever, let me back up a little bit. When the players and the owners fight in Major League Baseball, historically, the fan reaction has been anti-player. The fan reaction has been, you guys are a bunch of spoiled millionaires that won't go play a kid's game for millions of dollars. Screw you guys. You're wrong. That's the way that it's gone historically. I think the players have found a message that's really starting to resonate a little bit, and that is, tell us when and where and we'll show up and play. Tell us when and where. Well, Max Scherzer said it yesterday, that Trevor Bauer has said it before, that the message of, guys, we're ready. Just tell us when and where. And the owners and the commissioner are hemming and hawing about this. Let's take a listen very quickly to Rob Manfred right here, because this does not sound like somebody who's willing to accept the terms of when and where.
Well, I know the owners are 100% committed to getting baseball back on the field. Unfortunately, I can't tell you that I'm 100% certain that's going to happen. I had been hopeful that once we got to common ground on the idea that we were going to pay the players full prorated salary, that we would get some cooperation in terms of proceeding under the agreement that we negotiated with the MLBPA on March 26th. Unfortunately, over the weekend, while Tony Clark was declaring his desire to get back to work, the union's top lawyer was out telling reporters, players, and eventually getting back to owners that as soon as we issued a schedule, as they requested, they intended to file a grievance claiming they were entitled to an additional $1 billion. Obviously, that sort of bad faith tactic makes it extremely difficult to move forward in these circumstances.
See, that's ridiculous, because the idea of, well, we're very excited. No, they just said when and where. So all you have to do is say, hey, we're starting spring training on June 25th. Go. Okay, we'll be there. This idea, well, they want to file a grievance and that we're negotiating about. Okay, if you're confident that you're not negotiating in bad faith, let them file a grievance. In the meantime, we have baseball. What they're doing is exactly what Trevor Bauer suggested, and that is they want to spin the clock for about another 3 weeks. That way, when they do implement a season unilaterally, it's very short, which means they only have to pay the players their full salaries for about 45 or 50 games instead of the 70, which they could do right now if they went in and did it. They'll still get their playoff money. They'll still get their regional TV money. The message of tell us when and where is resonating. It's not going to win the war for the players, but it's tilted this thing back more towards the middle than it ever has before. And they finally found themselves a message that works.
And Bryce Harper's tweeting at the Eagles. Maybe he's going to play football.
Why not, right?
I'd be all right with that.
I think these things tend to take a life of its own. At some point in time, it's all a negotiation tactic. But then the realization also sits in when you start to run out of time. And I think that the Major League Baseball is getting ready to push up against a time restraint here. Pressure points are getting ready to start to mount up, because the NBA is on its way back. The NFL is on its way back. And if you're trying to compete with those two, you're going to be in trouble.
It's so ridiculous that we're focusing in on who has the best message, as opposed to who has the best team. I can't stress this enough. This is damn near July now. We're like halfway through June, and you guys are still trying to figure it out. When your season was the one that was best prepared, you didn't have to find a bubble. The bubbles are created for spring training, you know, by the construction of your league. You already had a bubble. The NBA had to find a place to gather everyone. You already even had that in multiple locations. Like, everything was set up for you guys to win. I'm with you, Travis. I love baseball. I'm going to go back. I'm still going to watch it. But I'm just going to look at some owners and just go, how did you mess this one up? How did you mess this one up? They're over in South Korea playing ball, dog.
Yep.
I think other people got it figured out.
Well,
you're sitting here trying to win the PR war still.
Yeah, and not only are they not winning the PR war, they're losing it because their arguments are easily proven ridiculous. The only reason you haven't implemented a season is because you don't want one yet. The players say, look, we'll play. You just got to pay us what you agreed to pay us. Fine. And they're saying, no, we don't want to give you the full thing because we don't have people in the stands and game day revenues are non-existent. Therefore, we have to pay you less. And baseball's response is, well, I don't love it, but show me the math. And they're like, no. Okay, so let's not do that then, because if you're not going to show me, I don't trust you. And then this idea of you want less because it will cost you less to pay us over 50 games than over, say, 75 or 80 games. It's a very obvious argument. And to your point about all these other leagues getting ready to go, Ross Stripling said going dark for 16 months just can't happen. It looks like the NBA might push their season back. They're probably tired of having to compete with the NFL, and that puts them right in competition with us. You start getting into TV slots, and we don't necessarily want to battle the NBA. We can't afford to go dark for 16 months and lose fans. He couldn't be more right. Look, one of baseball's great advantages is that from basically now, middle of June, early June, until the beginning of September, there's nothing that they're going up against. The only other thing that's happening during that time is preseason football. And as great as the NFL is, preseason football is preseason football, and we can afford to miss one of those here and there. If all of a sudden the NBA decides, you know what, the summer's a good spot for us. The summer's a good spot for us. That if we go through the entire summer playing NBA basketball, if we don't start till, let's say, Christmas or New Year's, and our season ends sometime in mid-July, late August, that's a good run for us. Major League Baseball will get devoured by the NBA. You will have none of that casualness that goes along with being alone in the summer. Ross Stripling gets that. I'm sure that many of the players get that. This is where the owners better be really, really careful about making an opportunity for other leagues to come in and steal their lunch, because they will, and they will lose a face-off to the NBA when it comes to sports fans' eyeballs over the summer if this is where the NBA decides to set up shop moving forward.
And I think that they do realize that. I don't think that they're so bullish that they think they can take on the NBA or the NFL. I think they know that they're sitting in third position, but the problem with them is – they are satisfied with trying to get the money that's on the table opposed to trying to make sure that the game gets back on track in the way that it should. Because, like everybody says, you'll miss it for a little bit. People will be mad at them for a little bit. But much like the strike year, people will come back because it's a sport that everybody likes.
Yeah, it is a sport that everyone likes right now.
But I think it'll be a sport I think it'll just be a small little hiatus in terms of fan base for a little bit, but they'll come back. I mean,
I'm referring to it's what's going to happen if the NBA pushes the schedule back and then there's a choice.
Right.
Like, I like tennis. I like baseball. I love baseball. But if you're asking me if I had a ticket and my choice was to go to Staples or go to Dodger Stadium, I might end up at Staples. Depending upon who's playing, I might end up at Staples.
Game seven of the World Series with Walker Buehler on the mound. Game seven of the NBA Final and LeBron James at the free throw line. Which one are you going to?
Oh, I'm at Staples, man. I'm at Staples. I'm a hooper.
So I'm going to go to the Dodger game
win out.
Because for like you said, LZ, you're a basketball guy. I'm a baseball guy at heart. So forced to pick between those two, I would pick the Dodger game, but I'm fully aware that I'm in the minority. I'm fully aware that I would be the guy looking at say, hey, what's the score of the Laker game? That I would be there. That the fans outside these buildings, the Lakers would have more. The Lakers are the most popular team in this city. The Lakers are the most popular team in the NBA, arguably. So I get that choosing the Dodgers in that situation would be the less popular of the two picks. The question isn't they're happening at the same time. The question is, if you have the NBA playoffs that are basically under a new schedule, right? Let's say that they decide that they're going to start their season Christmas. The NBA playoffs would basically run through the entire summer. So it's not I have to pick game seven right. of the NBA finals against game seven of the World Series. It's I can watch 3 months, 2.5 months of NBA playoff basketball, which are incredibly exciting, highly contested, very competitive games, or I can watch the Dodgers play the Padres for the 14th time in August. That's the easiest decision in the world. And that's where very fans easy. Get built. That's where the fandom comes from, watching games that really don't matter. That we all love the playoffs. You know, if I know that somebody's going home at the end of the night, that's inherently interesting. But you can't have a sport that's nothing but playoffs. You need to have something that gets people into the tent to watch it to build up to the playoffs. And that's what baseball's sacrificing. They're sacrificing the summer to basketball potentially, and they will get their butts kicked because of it.
I mean, think about this. The WNBA was starting their league, and it was like, and they thought, okay, which sport can we try to poach some people? Football season? Nah, let's not do it then. Basketball season? Nah. We'll do it during baseball season. Like that's what they made a conscious choice to pick on baseball because they saw baseball as being vulnerable. Now, obviously, it's not apples to apples in terms of numbers of people, but it's very telling to let you know what certain people think about baseball in terms of its grip on the American, pastime BS that they try and pass on. Like, people see it as vulnerable. And if there's an opportunity for the NBA to come and have the postseason run during baseball season, 100% they're confident, just like the WNBA was confident, that they'll have fans.
Yeah,
and that's the crazy part that for some reason that baseball doesn't understand.
Ross Stripling understands it. He said it. We don't want to mess with the NBA. We don't want that. We have the summers to ourselves. They'll figure it out. It'll be a small season. It'll be weird and goofy and lame, and then they'll fight all over again heading in to 2021. All right. That's the baseball commissioner that spoke last night. The football commissioner, Roger Goodell, said that he encourages teams to sign Colin Kaepernick. Will it matter? That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
I ain't mad at you.
Say that again, Keith.
I ain't mad at you, man. Tupac.
Happy birthday to Tupac. Right. What'd you say, LZ? 49?
49. The idea of a 50-year-old Tupac is just crazy. But I guess if everybody else turned 50, I guess.
Man, come on, man. Dr. Dre got to be 60. If Pac 50, Dre got to be 60. Or pretty close to it.
It's so crazy, man.
And Jay-Z got to be at least 50-something too, right?
Jay-Z got to be in his 50s.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Come on, man.
Crazy, though, man. It's just crazy to be reminded that we, too, are getting older.
Well, me, you know? You guys are. You
got me.
I didn't get carded at the Abbey yesterday or Sunday.
Well, what?
Yeah, you got something else.
Mick Jagger's got to be, 116? And he's still out there doing it. I mean, I guess if you just keep going, you just keep going.
Yeah, I guess. Pac, it's just so crazy. Ridiculous.
My son, actually, Keyshawn's birthday is today too. His birthday. He's born
on the
16th. Yeah. So,
when Rob, you think get about Keyshawn it, on the phone.
He probably sleeps somewhere.
Yeah, 7:18 in the morning.
Yeah. When you think about it, though, Pac was just ridiculously vicious, man. With it, I mean, like he was woke before any of us, as far as that just in his lyrics, some of the things. I mean, you know, obviously Public Enemy and stuff like that. But just when you think about some of Pac's lyrics and some of the things that he was saying, is just, you go back and you just like, man, he was on point way back when.
Oh, God, yeah. But, I mean, his mom made sure that he was woke. You know, he had such a complicated life, like a lot of black men, you know, where you're warring with yourself and you're warring with your environment, but you're also warring against a system that doesn't want to see you make it. That's why when he said, you know, when you talk about the roles growing out of the concrete sidewalk, And he was talking about how people are going, ah, look at you. Your petals are jacked up. And, you know, you got scraped and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, man, look, a rose grew out of the sidewalk. That's the incredible thing. You looking at the petals and how it came through. You're not even thinking about the fact that it made it. And that's what it is sometimes for, like, you know, depending upon how you grew up, for some black people, man. It's like you looking at our rough edges and stuff like that. You need to realize we just grew out of the concrete, man.
So, sorry, Travis. We didn't mean to take you there. Let's go back. We didn't want to take you
there. My bad.
Rose is out of the concrete. I'm here for that. Why not? You talk about he was woke before others. Roger Goodell would not fall into that category. That he woke up more recently with his skate about how they got it wrong. They need to listen to their players. He, along with the rest of the major league commissioners around this country, were on with Mike Greenberg last night. And he was asked, as I'm sure he expected to be asked, about Colin Kaepernick and his potential return to the NFL. And I want you to listen to this because it sounds to me like he's being incredibly cautious about how he voices his support for Colin Kaepernick's return as a player in the NFL.
If he wants to resume his career in the NFL, that obviously is going to take a team to make that decision. But I welcome that, support a club making that decision, and encourage them to do that. If his efforts are not on the field, but and continuing to work in this space, we welcome to that table and to be able to help us and guide us and help us make better decisions about the kinds of things that need to be done in communities. We have invited him in before, and we want to make sure that everybody's welcome at that table and trying to help us deal with some very complex, difficult issues that have been around, unfortunately, for a long time. But I hope we're at a point now where everybody's committed to making long-term sustainable change.
Yeah, it's not complex, and, you know, you're not there yet, so don't make it seem like that we there, so let's just stop right now. That's not what it's going to be. And Roger sounds so uncomfortable having this conversation.
Man, that basement, though, dog. I'm looking at this basement again. It looks like he's at a Howard Johnson's like community center or something. I'm like,
man, oh, leave me a house alone, man. You
know, everything's the same color.
But he probably lives upstate in New York somewhere, man. That's how they roll. They
got colors up there.
I know, but that's how, you know, he probably just went into one of them furniture stores and said, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that.
I'm good. Man, I'm looking.
Wait, I'm hold looking on a second. He didn't walk into a furniture store. He hired a decorator to go in there and do that.
Well, I hope
Goodell is a very wealthy man. He did not walk into Mathis Brothers and start pointing stuff out.
I hope like hell he didn't hire a decorator to do that. That's for sure.
Come on, Key. The couch matches the carpet.
But that's why I said him and his wife probably went into the local little furniture store that's been there for a while and said, give me two of those. Oh, that looks comfortable, honey. Give me one of those. Give me a side table. Give me that blue lamp. Let's go. But I think in the end, you know, Roger, people are waiting for him to just really say Kaepernick needs to play for somebody and somebody needs to sign him right now, and I'm encouraging the teams to do it. I've spoken to many teams, and there's a lot of things that's on the table. That's the conversation he should be having. Not that you know, he's welcome at the table, and of course he's welcome. You're not going to say he's not. Why would you say he's not welcome at the table?
Right.
I mean, you're not going to say that. Of course he's welcome at the table. What are you going to talk about? You know, and so – all of those sort of things. Now, do I think he'll get an opportunity to play again? I think he will. I think somebody, whenever they open up to physicals and training again, where people can get eyeballs on him and Cam, I think both of them will get signed at some point before the season. And I think Kaepernick will get signed, and then it'll be a whole circus around the fact that, see, I told you he could play the whole time. Y'all just was blackballing him. They'll go through that wave. You know, at some point in time, because we all clearly know why he was pushed to the sideline. We all clearly know that his message was being hijacked. We all clearly understand that now. And it's too much momentum for them not to want to sign him a team. Now it's going to be whether or not that team in that particular region or geographic location is willing to handle the small pushback that they're going to get for signing him. Is that team willing to handle and deal with that, you know, in that particular city? Wherever that little city is, you know it's going to be some people at the doorstep screaming and hollering.
But, you know, I'm so sick of that excuse, though. The whole excuse of, like, the media circus. It's just, it's ridiculous at this point. You know, Mike Vick comes back. People are like going, oh, the circus. It was fine. Jason Collins makes history, plays basketball. It was a little buzz for a couple seconds, and then we moved on. It was fine. You know, this notion that we're not going to bring in Kaepernick because a team may not be equipped to handle the media. We've handled the media. The media has done a thousand things. You don't think it was media during Jackie Robinson when he was coming into baseball? You don't think there were reporters from the New York Times and the L.A. Times and every other newspaper, the Chicago Tribune? You don't think they all descended into Brooklyn to see him play baseball and there was a media circus? We need to stop giving them that pass that somehow the presence of journalists is too much to overcome for them to do the right thing. That is absolutely bonkers. It's a cop-out, and it's BS.
Key, you said it at the beginning, that, and I think it's the right word. It's comfortable. And Roger Goodell does not look comfortable addressing that issue. And look, none of us – I won't say all. I'll speak for myself here. No one likes to be pointed out that you were just dead wrong about something. It's an uncomfortable feeling, and you realize, okay, I blew it. I missed it. I just got it dead wrong. But once you realize that you just had it wrong, it's kind of like, oh, okay, I blew it. And then you can kind of just move forward and talk about it a little bit more comfortably. Yeah, I blew that, but now I get it. It's this, and let's go. It's only when you get something wrong, people call you out on it for being wrong, but you still aren't quite there where you see that you got it wrong, that you're uncomfortable talking about that issue. And this is what it feels like to me, that he knows that he has to say that he's welcome back, that if a team decides to go that way, we encourage them to do it. But it doesn't feel like this. You know what? Yes, I would love to see him back in the league because we blew it. We got this wrong. This thing got hijacked for a variety of reasons, and we were complicit in the hijacking of the issue. And I would love to see Colin Kaepernick back in this league because he's a fantastic football player and the league's better off with him. That's when you're comfortable with having had it wrong. His response, now maybe there's a legal component where he can't quite go that far, but his response always feels like somebody that's still struggling with whether they actually believe where they are on the issue or not. It's what it sounds like to me.
Well, we'll see. You know, we will see, because this story, this chapter in American sports and just American history in general, it really is just getting started. It really is. Because remember, those officers in Minneapolis, they got to go to court. We're just getting started with this conversation.
We're just getting started with the conversation, and it is starting in the college ranks as well. A very important college football player called out his head coach. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your goldfish to sing Bizet's Carmen? There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Good news, Lamar Jackson not hurt after getting taken out by the jet ski on the side of the beach. That's the good news. The potential troubling news, Lamar Jackson is on the cover of the latest edition of Madden. And we all know that oftentimes does not work out. Sometimes it works out okay. I mean, Patrick Mahomes seems to be doing okay for himself, but Lamar Jackson is on the cover of Madden, so start the clock on the Madden jinx, right?
I think it's 50-50, though. It sounds more egregious than what it really truly is. I mean, if you think about it, there's been some pretty good players on there, but then they reached on other guys. that wasn't really like that anyway.
You don't mean Peyton Hillis, do you?
Yeah, I was about to say running back from the Cleveland Browns. Like,
he had
a good year, man.
He had a good year.
But you reached on that. You was trying to turn that into something other than what it really was.
Antonio Brown. Don't forget about Antonio.
No, but Antonio Brown didn't get hurt. Antonio Brown just went crazy.
It's not about injury. It's about a curse.
Yeah, but it ain't. His is different, though, man. His is different. I'm talking about dudes that had standing, right? Antonio Brown has some standing. He been balling. Peyton Hillis had like 10 games, and they slapped him.
He had one good year.
10 games.
He had one good year, and I can't think of a single run in that good year that was memorable. But
you got to remember, though, he played a position.
They had to package that up.
He played a position that was dominated by African Americans, all of a sudden they got him one, and they wanted to try to make him into something. I get it. We understand it, Travis. It's all good.
So Antonio Brown was the cover guy in 2019. We all know how that went. Tom Brady the year before that. We've had Rob Gronkowski on the cover. He's gotten busted up left and right. Great player, but busted up like crazy. Odell Beckham was one of the cover guys. That goes back to 2016. I don't think we've heard from him since. I mean, it's Richard Sherman with the Seahawks. He's been fine along the way, but he got hurt shortly thereafter as well. Adrian Peterson, we know what happened there. You got Calvin Johnson with the Lions. So they've had some guys get the bad end of this. Hopefully, it does not happen to Lamar. Maybe Lamar did it perfectly. The jet ski thing happened, and then the cover comes out. Because if it happened the other way, we all know what we'd be saying, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, he dodged that one for sure. If you're looking at it from a curse standpoint, see, I look at it from a player standpoint and what they did to deserve to be on the cover. That's what I look at. I don't look at after the cover.
That's when the curse kicks in. Is after.
That's the curse, man.
Yeah, I understand that, but I never look at it that way because you get hurt. You know, guys get hurt playing football. I mean, guys get hurt that's not on the cover.
All right, so Chuba Hubbard is a running back at Oklahoma State, a very good running back at Oklahoma State. He led the league in rushing yards last season. He tweeted to his head coach, "I will not stand for this. This is completely insensitive to everything going on in society, and it's unacceptable." What is unacceptable and insensitive to everything going on in society, in his estimation, was his head coach, Mike Gundy, wearing a T-shirt with an OAN logo. OAN is One America News. It is a conspiracy theory pushing news outlet that has characterized the Black Lives Matter movement as a terrorist organization, among other things. I love this. I love that a college football player feels like he has a voice to call out a very popular, you know, I don't want to say moderately, somewhere between incredibly successful and moderately successful. Mike Gundy's been in Oklahoma State for a long time and won a lot of games and is a very popular coach in that community. That he called him out, I think, is wonderful because this is something that we typically have not seen up until now. This is a great indicator that we have a different landscape where players can say, "That sucks. I'm not doing that. That means exactly, I know exactly what that means, and I'm not going to let you stand there like you don't know what it means and make us feel a certain way about it." I really love that he called him out on that.
Yeah, and you know, in this climate that we're in today, players feel free. They don't feel trapped because they see that everybody is behind them. They don't have to worry about if they said something, be afraid if they said something, that their careers would be, you know, taken away from them, both collegiately and professionally. When you're in college, you typically, you know, you're younger. Your authorities are typically older, so you tend to listen to what they say. And you fall in line accordingly. One of the problems that I've seen is that in college, you typically, you know, you don't really get a whole lot of stuff being said from college coaches. Everything is kind of like under their breath, passing by, real slick. Like now, college coaches, for whatever reason, over the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, they felt like they've been empowered to some degree that they could just say whatever they want to say and do whatever they want to do, because now finally they feel like that there's people that has gotten their back and taken up for them, whether it was around the same time that Colin Kaepernick had the kneeling and it was hijacked to where it made it more about the military and the flag. So everything that was going on with the Black Lives Matter and all of that didn't really matter because we shushed them people up and we pushed them aside so we could have the stage to do and feel and say as we want. The problem is now you got millions and millions of people across the globe that say, no. So these coaches' calculated times have screwed them up, okay? Whether it's the Florida State guy, whether it's Mike Leach, whether it's Gundy, they don't think, y'all Dabo. Forgot, Dabo Sweeney, y'all done forgot. There's millions of people that are now protesting and paying attention to all of the undermining that's been going on for so long and all of the slick, backhanded comments and just real under the cover, like, bam, I'm not going to report this, I'm just going to leave it alone. That's out the window now, out the door now. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if certain coach. I wouldn't be. Look, at the end of the day, if Mike Gundy didn't say what he said or try and whatever, shake hands, make peace, change, I wouldn't be surprised if they'd have been starting to cough his job. I wouldn't be surprised if the athletic director and the president of the school said, man, you know, we got to probably fire you after this.
At Oklahoma State, I wonder.
No, because we can't. I understand the region. I understand Oklahoma State. I understand small town, all that. But because the train is moving so damn fast that they got to get in front of it. For some reason that they didn't get in front of it and let it linger for a few days, you would have heard people starting to say, I ain't playing for you. I'm done. They'd have started losing athletes, and I promise you they would have been looking to take that dude's job. Just like they did the strength coach at Iowa. He ain't got no job now. Something that happened 5 years ago. Iowa did the right thing by parting ways with him, even though he's a smaller guy on the totem pole.
It's a day of reckoning, and the sports world is not immune to that at all. In fact, in a lot of ways, the sports world has perpetuated some of the issues we're talking about because it's just a basic power dynamic. I mean, think about it. If it wasn't for the Rona, the NFL was going to put brothers on a boat being sailed across the water to meet their new team owner. I thought that was a good idea.
Did they keep that? Or did they? Were they going to keep it, or did they get so much pushback that they?
They were going to change it. Somebody that was paying attention, they were going to change it.
But the idea was put together.
The idea was floated.
Exactly.
Yeah, and accepted.
Exactly.
What was they going to do to us, LZ? Put us on a boat across the river to meet our new owner. Yay! Hey, how you doing there, owner? Hey, how you doing? Ready to work?
And the problem is, you needed black people to say, "Nah, dog, that's not a good idea." Like, what is it about your construction of your leadership that you still needed an outside voice to tell you putting brothers on a boat to meet their white owners wasn't a good idea?
Well, it wasn't just brothers. We had white players that was going to get drafted too. What are you guys talking about?
Well, there's the question of somebody pointing it out, and then there's the question of, and I'm not talking about the NFL, I'm back to Mike Gundy, that this is exactly the statement I want to make. I'm just hoping that no one says anything about it because the people that need to know will know. There's a lot more there. We're going to continue to talk about Mike Gundy. But Take It or Shake It is coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, Keith, let's start with Major League Baseball. Let's start by listening to Rob Manfred, who says he does not believe that a season is a certainty.
Mm-mm. Well, I know the owners are 100% committed to getting baseball back on the field. Unfortunately, I can't tell you that I'm 100% certain that's going to happen. I had been hopeful that once we got to common ground on the idea that we were going to pay the players full prorated salary, that we would get some cooperation in terms of proceeding under the agreement that we negotiated with the MLBPA on March 26th. Unfortunately, over the weekend, while Tony Clark was declaring his desire to get back to work, the union's top lawyer was out telling reporters, players, and eventually getting back to owners that as soon as we issued a schedule, as they requested, they intended to file a grievance claiming they were entitled to an additional $1 billion. Obviously, that sort of bad faith tactic makes it extremely difficult to move forward in these circumstances.
The Major League Baseball owners are doing everything they can to guarantee a Major League Baseball season. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Oh, shit. Oh no. Come on.
Go back to the March 26th when everything was first canceled out and they agreed to certain things. Then they came back and tried to flip the script on the players. Tried to send the players the same proposal, changed three different ways, but the numbers all added up to be the same. You get more, we get less. So at the end of the day, are they truly trying to do everything within their power to get Major League Baseball back on the diamond? I don't think so.
Well, you heard him say at the beginning, he goes, well, you know, once we got to the agreement where they'd get a full portion of prorated salaries, it's like, well, no, their offer keeps containing a portion of the full amount. They never even got to the, okay, we'll pay you guys what you're owed. Very quickly here, Key, this is the second one there. The Major League Baseball players are winning the PR battle. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it. Mm.
I think it swings back and forth. I don't think anybody's winning today. Major League Baseball players are doing tomorrow. It'll be the owners. The next day it'll be the players because they're going back and forth. If you think about it, I don't remember who it was, but they came out and complained and made themselves look very, very selfish. And that was the first wave where the owners put the players in a bad position. The players stepped out and said something, so it made them look selfish. Then the players put the owners in a bad situation, so now it's making them look selfish. So it's going back and forth. I don't think anybody's winning the PR battle. What they're getting ready to do is cause a lot of heartache and pain to Major League Baseball as a whole.
It's funny because, like you mentioned, Key, Blake Snell at the beginning of this said, no, man, I'm not playing without my money. And it was that same dead dog that arrives. And it's like nobody wants to hear that, man. Nobody wants to hear that. But their message recently of tell us when and where, I think is a really powerful one because that's not give me more. That's not anything other than tell me when the season starts and we'll be there. I think that does resonate with fans.
Well, look, okay. Tell me when and where, right? Based on the demands that you have sent them. So if they don't meet your demands, it's not going to be a win or a where. It's like, Travis, here's the money, when and where. And you're like, well, wait a minute, Key, man. I asked for $5. You gave me $2.
No, what they're saying is that we agreed to this back in March, a full prorated piece of our salaries, and however many games we play, that's the percentage of pay we get. Let us know when it is. They're not trying to renegotiate the terms. They're just trying to stick to the terms that were agreed to initially.
Which is true, but then Major League Baseball is going to flip it on them because Major League Baseball, the owner side, is saying that, yes, we agreed to that in March, but because we're not making money from the gate receipts and stuff like that. And the fans, numbers are different, even though the numbers are not any different because you're getting the money from the television revenue that you're not trying to sell. I mean, not trying to share at 100%. You're trying to share it at a much smaller clip.
All right, let's move on to the next one here. Mike Gundy will have a problem recruiting black players.
Yes, absolutely.
Amen, my brother.
Take it all day long.
Take it.
All right, all day long.
I don't care how. Well, first of all, he's cool, right? I mean, he's a cool coach. I mean, you can win 8 games a year in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and not get fired. I mean, it's not, you know, because that's pretty much what he wins every year is 8 games. He never beats Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. When you look at, I don't think he ever beats Texas either. When you look at it, it's one of those situations where if you're a black player, you're African-American, you coming from certain type of backgrounds and environments, you're going to look at him way different. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the players that are on that team, when recruiting season start, when they start recruiting, they're going to be telling them, man, don't come here. But they ain't going to be saying it like that. They're going to be saying, man, don't come this blankety-blank-de-blank with these blankety-blank-de-blanks. I mean, it's going to be one of them deals where they're going to discourage you from even wanting to go to the university. That's what's going to happen. I mean, you think about it. The University of Texas is going through some similar stuff, too, because they want the song. The song to be the school's fight song, I think it is?
Yeah, the Eyes of Texas, yeah.
Yeah, the Eyes of Texas to be exempt from the university. And they said, man, until y'all do that, we not recruiting for y'all at all. So all they going to be doing is help negative recruiting for the other universities. And that's going to happen to Gundy. That's going to happen to Dalbo Sweeney. It's going to happen to Mike Leach and any other coach that's out there that is consistently not necessarily promoting, but, you know, not standing up for what's right. They kind of just, you know, playing the middle or not playing the middle and got their own views about society when the majority of society today feels a certain way.
All right, let's go.
And if you really think about the whole conversation about players getting paid and being fairly compensated, as the more stories you're hearing about these little microaggressions, whether you're Dabo Sweeney or you know you're wearing a T-shirt that says certain things, these little microaggressions in combination with this overwhelmingly conversation about players can't be played, it really just gives you an icky feeling right now. Sports really need to clean these guys out because it's looking really close to being indentured servants when you got someone like a Dabo Sweeney who doesn't mind the N-word being used by a coach, but I can't pay the black players who are making me money. It's real nasty looking right now.
It's hard. It would be hard for me to send somebody or have a recommend to a kid to go to any of them schools. I mean, it just would be a play for them coaches. I just be honest with you. I couldn't stand up and sign off on that.
No, there's no way that you're alone in that. There's just absolutely no way that this isn't going to impact that. The question is, how long does it take? Because maybe wearing a T-shirt doesn't get the attention of the athletic director. Maybe wearing a T-shirt doesn't get the attention of the university president, but 5 wins a year will. You know what I mean? And if you're not getting the right guys, if you're not getting the right players, and they're not going there because of your T-shirt selection, that's going to get you fired. That T-shirt Travis may Rogers not have gotten you called in to – I'm sorry, keep going ahead.
Say Travis Rogers playing wide receiver at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with that. That's not
Shake it.
All right, one more quick one here, Key. Roger Goodell has the least impressive basement of any rich man you've ever seen. Take it or shake it.
Say that one more time.
Take it, Key.
Roger Goodell has the least impressive basement of any rich man you've ever seen. Take it or shake it.
Man, take that.
Take it.
Especially after Cliff Kingsbury done showed you how he living. Now you coming up, you make probably 5-6 times as much as Cliff Kingsbury, and then you look up and you doing that with that. You got like 2 leather chairs.
Doesn't Roger Goodell make $50 million a year?
But them ain't even leather Italian sculptured chairs that people can't sit in. This is like big old couches that look like they belong out on your porch. Look like something that he had. Look like some Roger took. It was some sort of cloth material, and he took it to the manufacturer and said, "I want leather put on these."
Leather. And it's just a simple fact that everything's the exact same color.
And everything is the same color. I'm telling you, he walked in. I'm telling you what he did, man. He walked into the department store in one of them little upstate New York little towns, you know, like the Greenwich, Connecticut, or Westchester County. And he walked in one of the little side little streets with them little stores. And he said, "Give me one of those. Give me that one. Give me the blue lamp. You got a coffee table? I'll take a coffee table. Package up that, and we're good to go." That's what he did. The curtains probably even match. The wood matched the same leather. The color of the leather chairs matched the background on the wood walls. Oh, poor Roger.
Get Cliff Kingsbury's decorator on the phone, Roger, and hook yourself up. All right, we've heard from Rob Manfred. We've heard from Roger Goodell. Adam Silver spoke yesterday, and you know what? He got it right. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.